See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In principle, holiness is invisible. As Jean-Luc Marion argues, we can't recognize it because we don't define the concept, we don't have experience of it, and we're not very good at probing other people's hearts. And yet in the scriptures, holiness is what makes God unique. The angels call to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." God is described as glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor. A bewildered Moses has to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground. He even has to hide his face because he's afraid to look at God. God's alterity, his difference, is his holiness. And we cannot see his face. In other words, God's glory and God's holiness are invisible. And yet, while no man has ever seen God, John's Gospel tells us that the Son has made him known. Christ has carried God's holiness into the world. And can claim that whoever has seen him has seen the Father. And yet the Word made flesh, the image of the Father, was still, throughout his ministry, right up to the point of his crucifixion, fundamentally invisible. Why? Because holiness can't be seen by what is not holy. The crowd, the soldiers, Pilate, the priests and the scribes, even the disciples couldn't see Christ's holiness. They were blinded, dazzled by the glory of God. So here's a very good description of our situation on Good Friday. Looking at the crucified one, looking at the one who will draw all people, can we see the holiness? Here we are contemplating the paschal glory, but finding it invisible, because with our eyes, with our low worth, we can't see its holiness. Its holiness can't be seen. Let's not kid ourselves. We need Emmaus. We need what Marian calls the semi-clarity of the sacrament. Some kind of visible sign of the invisible. The breaking of bread. Before we get to recognize Christ. And we need these hints to help us fix our eyes. And the crucifixion is full of them. The temple curtain is torn, hinting at the destruction of the old law. The sky is darkened, hinting at God's mourning for his Son, a mourning that's prophesied in Zechariah. The earth quakes, the ground opens, hinting at something of the eschatology after the resurrection. Even the Roman officer might hint at the Gentiles and the pagans, the people like us, who one day would make it into the church. These are all just glimpses into the theological infrastructure, a recognition that we need concepts, we need interpretations to help us, at least for now, see the glory of God on the cross. We need signs and sacraments too, to help us grow in holiness, to help make visible the invisible. That's how we can dare to look on him whom they have pierced. To see the thrust of the lance, the opening of the heart, the blood and the water flowing out, not as some kind of a spectacle, something just to feast our gaze on, but as the ultimate revelation of God and of us in God. Christ crucified is the final representation of the God whom no one has seen. And it needs a final interpretation too. How can we begin to see this image, this icon of the crucified and glorified Lord? How can we discern the visible invisible? Well, one way is the way which the prayer book suggests. It's a good way, I think. Is to understand it as Christ's one oblation of himself once offered. That full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. This death is the recreation of all people. This Christ, who is both God and man, both priest and victim, has paid our debt to God and destroyed the power of the devil. The consubstantial Son, who assumed our human nature, has sacrificed it for us so that we can be children of God. Now, does that help? Probably not much. We can get bogged down in theology as well. The bottom line is that holiness can only be experienced as we enter into it. The fruits of our recreation can only be produced by grace as we live in Him. And yet there is so much more that we need to understand, so much more that we need to see and to recognize, but we cannot bear it yet. And so today, as we venerate the cross, as we try to fathom this icon of us in God, there's no shame in keeping our prayers simple. No shame in keeping our hearts real. We don't need to fake up our piety. We don't need to pretend to be holier than we are. It's enough to pray that God will open our eyes to the Lamb who was a son, to the man who was God, to the sheep who died. He's a son because he is begotten. He's a sheep because he suffers. He is human because he is buried. He is God in that he is raised up. This is the Jesus that we look at today. This is the God who opens his arms in suffering to gather you and me and the whole world under his wings. So today, as we contemplate the cross, may you behold Christ's glory. May you catch a glimpse of the visible invisible.